As we continue in worship, we'll be reading from the book of Acts, and we'll be in the 8th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. There's a lot of commas and different things like that in that reading, so it's always... I'm not much of on grammar, but I feel like some of that grammar is difficult and wrong. Let us pray as we continue. Lord, we give you thanks for this day, for a time of worship, for the ways in which you are at work in our life to bring about community and unity, to bring about your Spirit that dwells within us, that we might be people of love and compassion for the world around us. And so, God, meet us in this place, speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So our lives are, we're going to be in this kind of series over the next few weeks, broken. So different ways in which maybe our life is broken, but how God brings good news and healing for us. We know that our lives are full of pain and brokenness. We have broken relationships. We have broken hearts. We have broken dreams that of things that we desired and really thought were going to happen, and then they don't turn out the way in which we had anticipated. We have physical brokenness as well, like our bodies, failing bodies, medical problems, chronic diseases. We experience it personally within ourselves. We have it with our family and friends. We see it on the news within the first couple minutes of every news story. We read about it on social media. It fills our life. It's plain to see that we live in a broken and hurting world. No one is immune to pain and brokenness, whether they're a good person or not. Whether they're a Christian or not, no one is immune to pain and brokenness. And so we'll be reading through some of Paul's letter to the Roman community, chapters 8 through 11. The letter is addressed by Paul to this community of people that he had never met in the hopes of encouraging them and building them up. He knew that the Christian life was difficult, and that the world that the Christian faith was in was unpredictable and increasingly diverse. And so we'll talk about how God sustains us in the midst of this brokenness, both within and without, helping us find wholeness and unity no matter what crisis or challenge we're facing. And so today we start with this internal brokenness of our own spirit, which then can be the cause and effect of sin and pain that causes damage to our human bodies as well. Sin is difficult. and we live in the midst of it, and so often we're a part of it. In the previous chapter, chapter 7, Paul is talking about how there's not just sin in the world, but there's also sin in us. And he says that it seems that we're too easily drawn to doing the exact things that we know in our heart and our mind that we're not supposed to do. Just knowing sometimes that we're not supposed to do it can sometimes push us towards it for some reason, making us want to do it. I mentioned that for instance, we have speed limits that are posted everywhere, and if we see a sign that says 70, so often we push it to about 73 or 74. And then if the sign, you know, it could be the same street, but if the speed limit changes to 75, well, then we're going to push it to 79. So often we push the limits. We eat things and do things that we often know are not healthy for ourselves. We have broken bodies, broken spirits. Because of the sin that we're born into, because of the fall of Adam and Eve. We're people who are naturally drawn to do things that can cause pain for ourselves and for the world, causing the broken bodies and broken spirits. So often, we have this willing, willful desire inside of us that doesn't fear nor trust God. And so often we feel that we want to determine to run our life the way we want to run our life. We want to do things on our own terms, sometimes at the expense of anyone and everyone else. We're people who are drawn to do things that are not healthy for ourselves or the world. It's part of the flesh. And the harder we try to find those things that will fill those parts in our lives that can only be filled with God, the more that we try to find some purpose or some job or some meaning or some relationship that can make our life worthwhile and satisfying, the more we try to go at it alone, the more we reveal the grip of our sinful flesh. As chapter 7 ends, Paul writes this question: "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death, this sinful flesh? Who will rescue me?" In verse 25, chapter 7, it says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." After painting a dismal picture of doing what we don't want to do and living into the sin that we don't want to commit, Paul says that there's only one way to get out of this and get this sinful flesh, and that one way to get off the merry-go-round, as fun as it often is God's got to get us off. And that's exactly what God did through Jesus Christ. God did what the law could not do. God declared an end to sin. God, who knew no sin, came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ to save us, to be an example for us in the same world that we live in today. And so we have the example. We read it in the Gospels. We read it in the Scriptures, the example of how to get off the merry-go-round and how to live a life of peace and hope. And yet we continually spend our whole lives in this tension between flesh and spirit, flesh being the ways of the world and spirit being the ways of God. You know, spirituality and our health often go together. We know that our bodies are impacted by the state of our spirit. Broken spirits can lead to broken bodies. Healthy spirits can lead to healthier bodies as we have a peace. But broken spirits can cause all kinds of health issues as well. Ulcers and sleeplessness and stress and things much worse. To set our mind on the things of the flesh means living according to the broken ways of the world, succumbing to discrimination or hatred due to race or ethnicity or religion. And this leads to the death of the hope and justice that we find in the mindset of Christ, of unity and wholeness. You know, one of the things I've always appreciated about the United Methodist Church and is its way of thinking about body, mind, and soul. The ways in which it has a holistic approach to Christianity, to religion, to our relationship with Christ. About how there's Methodist healthcare and Methodist hospitals, how there's Methodist universities and seminaries, how there's Methodist churches, body, mind, and soul. About how we know that if one's not healthy, influences another part of our body, ourself. You know, life in the Spirit, our life with relationship with Christ, liberates us from hatred and frees us to love. Focusing our minds on the things of Christ, compassion, justice, kindness, unity, those are things that can heal our broken spirits and empower us to heal our broken world. And we wake up each day choosing to live and be guided by the Spirit. We wake up each day being intentional about prayer and devotion and worship and service, being people of grace to others. Living by the Spirit doesn't mean that we'll be able to get away from brokenness, but it will free us from the power of sin that leads to death. Living by the Spirit leads to a life of greater than this world and a peace that passes all understanding. And so I wonder, how would our lives be different if we live in to the Spirit of Christ, if we fill ourselves with this way of Christ each day? Allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us to bring about positivity even in the midst of the brokenness of our lives. You see, when we have hope, when we have gratitude towards one another, when we believe that God loves unconditionally us and others as a child of God, then there's no longer a condemnation, but we're better able to grow. We know that God has always used and continues to use broken and imperfect people to accomplish His will. And when we trust in the hope that comes from Jesus, we're better able to sit with those in need. We're better able to know that God is with us. We're able to be with people without trying to fix them, to be or look as if we wanted them to be or look. We're able to be guided by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. And so, friends, if you are in a place in your life where you feel your body is broken or maybe your spirit is broken, I invite you to continue to, or maybe for the first time, bring it to God. Lay it before God. Reach out to someone that you know or you trust. And know that God is able to accomplish and to free us, to to work within our brokenness to make us whole. May you find hope. May you live into the faith that God will help you overcome. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, may you be filled and may you be restored. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship. We thank you for the ways in which you were at work in our life to bring wholeness and unity, that you work in the broken places that only you can work to do something that only you can do, Lord. And you do it through your Holy Spirit at work within us as your people. And so, God, we give you thanks for always being at work, for always bringing hope to the hopeless situations in our life, to bring restoration to the places in which are broken. God, we love you and we thank you that as a church we continue to be able to reach out to those in our midst and those in our community who need to or know about your hope that you have for them, that we can sit with them, that we can be with them, that we can be your presence in their life. God, we give you thanks for the ways in which you're at work. We love you. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.